in the words of Brother Bill, turn in your Bible to Ezra, the 15th book of the Old Testament. Genesis. What was the next one? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Go on right on down. All right. Ezra is a book that is a blessed book. I love it. Back in the Old Testament, probably it's not read very much or read through very much, yet it tells us some great things about a very important part of the Jewish life. Look at verse 1. If you look at verse 1, we'll read verse 1 of Ezra. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, and all kingdoms of the earth, the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we can come into your house, Lord, and just praise your name with beautiful songs and music. And God, that we might just lift you up, that you might draw all people to you. Heavenly Father, now we come to the reading of your word. And Lord, as we come into the message, I realize that, Lord, if you do not speak through me, then I will not have the words to touch these people's hearts. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit open up our hearts that we might be enlightened today. And we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now we find in these books the historical biblical record or account of the return of the Jews to the land of promise. Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Very good books. Now, the children of Israel, they're in captivity in a place called Babylon. I love the passage of Scripture where they asked them to sing a song. And they said, how can we sing a song in a strange land? Babylon was the source of really all idolatry, was one of the very leading countries or cities and empires of all the evil teachings that were out there. Now, God had allowed the Babylonians to come in and capture his people simply because they had given in to idolatry in their life. You know, that's what they wanted. They were living in idolatry. They were putting God second, third, fourth. They're putting idols before God. They wanted to live that way, and God let them. You see, God has a way of giving us exactly what we ask or desire in our hearts. He has a way of giving us that. I think we are experiencing that same kind of thing today in America. You see, we've decided that we want to rule ourselves. We want to do what we please. And God has given us the fruits of our desires. We have a society today of no absolutes, no moral values, no conscience whatsoever. And as a consequence, no quality of life anymore. Now, as a result of their captivity, the Jewish people had come to a point of national revival. Can you imagine that? Revival in their land. You see, when things were as bad can get, the conditions were right for a harvest. The conditions were right for a revival in the land. You see, when we get down as low as we can possibly go sometimes, the only way that we have to look is up, is right? And that's what the nation had been. They were a group of people in captivity. They had very little place to look to but God. And when we get desperate enough, and I believe when we get desperate enough as a church, as Christians in our country, then we'll see revival in our land, in our own hearts. Now in Ezra, we see the spiritual principles right here that God uses to bring revival. The spiritual principles that God uses to restore His people. And I believe they are the same today as they are back then. Look at the passage of Scripture. In all the spiritual awakenings throughout our country, and it's been a long time since there's really been a spiritual awakening. In all the spiritual awakenings throughout the land, these principles are set forth. And my prayer is that God will literally move into the life of First Baptist Church. That God will move into the life of the members at First Baptist Church. And let us see today, let us see in the future what a genuine awakening would be. And the Spirit of God might be in our midst, might be in our church, might be in our lives, might be in this town, might be in this county, might be in our association, our wonderful state, and all the United States of America. That it might spread throughout the whole land. For if it doesn't, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. In Ezra chapter 1, the spiritual principle that God uses is the proclamation of the Word of God. Look in verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the mouth of Jeremiah, the prophecy, might be fulfilled. Now, the first thing I want you to look at is the proclamation of the Word of God. God is sovereign. Amen. That simply means that God is in charge, that God is in control, that the Word of God might go forth. Now, this very verse is interesting because in the Old Testament, God predicted that the Jewish people would spend 70 years in captivity. Now think about it. 70 years in captivity, and then they would return to that precious land that God had given them. Now, God promised the Jews that He would bless them in their land. Now, it came about because of the sovereign work of God. God is working His plan. God is in control. Nothing that's happened in the United States today, nothing that happens in our church, nothing that happens in your life is by accident. I just don't believe in accidents. I don't believe in luck. I believe it's God working in our lives. We talked a little bit about that this morning, how God has worked in our lives to bring about or to bring us to this point. You're here today, not by luck. You're here because God brought you here. He put you here. It's a sovereign act of God, and it's a work of God. And God always fulfills His word. He is absolutely dependable in everything the Bible says is true. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's absolutely dependable. He's absolutely reliable in everything that He says. And one of the indications of revival is God's people return to the Word. God's people return to the Word. Now, that's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. We're losing ground. We're losing ground in Texas. We're losing ground in the United States. Our conversions, baptisms, are down across the Southern Baptist Convention. And so is the moral climate in America. And how goes our baptisms, how goes our salvation, is a good indicator of how goes America. Amen. How goes the churches in America. It's a good indication when they're not baptizing, when they're not teaching the word, when Sunday school enrollments are down across America. So goes our nation. So goes the individual. How the families go. It's all tied around how the Word of God. One of the greatest revivals in history was in Wales. Evan Roberts was a preacher, and he preached the Word of God. But as the revival broke loose, two things were very present. Thousands were converted in these revivals in Wales. And it is said that as the miners went to mine the coal and work in the mines, they were singing hymns of God on the way to work. Can you imagine? Miners going down into a coal mine or to mine, singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. People heard. People were singing and jails were empty and the bars had closed, they said. All had changed because the atmosphere had changed. And let me tell you something. Moral character rose in that country to its greatest height during that time. Folks, I believe with all my heart, when we get the Spirit of God back in our life, when we start singing and praising God, when we go out and start telling people about Jesus Christ and the life-changing experience that happens in our lives, they will hear us praising God and they'll also want what we have. You see, it's contagious. The Word of God is contagious, and we are very, very far from that today in America. We are very, very far from that today in our churches. We'll leave here at 12 o'clock. Most of us will go out to lunch or we'll go home to lunch, but we won't think about telling anybody about Jesus Christ till next Sunday when we come back here. No wonder the Word of God doesn't go out. What if you went to your work on Monday morning and you started praising God and telling people about the great service that you had on Sunday morning and how God blessed your life? We always give an excuse, well, we can't talk about religion at my work. Baloney. That's just an excuse you use. Somebody there wants to hear about Jesus, I guarantee you. There's hurts there. Tell them about how to overcome those hurts. I used to work with some of the roughest talking people around. But I tell you what, I was down at Walmart the other day and I was just singing a little tune as I walked down the aisle. And before long, I heard somebody else singing that same tune. Have you ever heard that? They start singing tune. Before long, you're singing. I was whispering, singing a tune, Amazing Grace. And the first thing I know, there's a lady on the other aisle doing the same thing. It's contagious, folks. All we have to do is start it. I was at the pump months ago, and I drove up there to the gas pump. Now, gas is high, and you don't hear too many hymns being sung at the gas pump. Bunch of grumbling and mumbling usually, but I got out of my truck, and I opened the gas tank, and that thing's a suction. Just won't suck that gas down. But anyhow, I was putting gas in there, and I was singing one of the hymns, Glory to God. I was just whistling it. And I got my gas filled up. My man beside me turned to come around to where I was at, and he said, you know what? I needed that. I said, needed what, the gas? He said, no, I needed that hymn. Thank you. And he got in his car and drove off. It'd been a hard day at work, evidently. And he needed to hear some praising about God. You see, we set the climate. We're the thermometer, so to speak. We come in here on Sunday morning, Brother Jim sets all these gauges, so it would be around 72 in here, so it would be nice and cool. But you know what? If he didn't set it, it would be hot. We are the thermostats for God out in the world. Now, the Word of God is always true. Look, Jeremiah had predicted this over in Daniel. A young man named Daniel in chapter 9 was reading God's Word. And he read God's Word and the prediction of Jeremiah, and he said, you know what? We're very close to that point. We're very close to the fulfillment. Now, the Bible says in the Babylon, there was a prince named Zerubbabel. And God began to stir his heart. And he took the prophecy of Jeremiah to King Cyrus so that he made a proclamation through all the kingdoms. Man, isn't that word? That the word of the Lord by the prophet of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. Listen, one of the great proofs of the Word of God is the fulfillment of the Word of God in the Bible. I don't know about you, but I believe there's hundreds of prophecies being fulfilled in the Word of God. When is the coming of Christ? Well, just read the Bible. It's going to come. I can't tell you the exact moment or hour, but I know it's going to come. Why? Because predictions in the Word of God are true. You can see them even to this day. One of the greatest fulfillments is that. Listen, hundreds of prophecies are coming to light in Christ Jesus. Over in the Old Testament, they were fulfilled exactly like the Word of God says. Now you take Cyrus. He was an object of prophecy. If you look over, and this is very interesting, Isaiah 44 and 28 and 45:1, 150 years before Cyrus was even born, Isaiah, the prophet, predicted the prophecy that Cyrus would be born. And even predicted his name, Cyrus. That's 150 years before he was born. Man, don't tell me that God is not in charge. He's in control. He's in control of the people. You know, he took these pagans. Look what it says. The Lord stirred up the spirit of King Cyrus, king of Persia, a pagan. God took the spirit and stirred it up in him. In other words, the Bible says God moved in Cyrus's heart. Let me tell you something. We have a bunch of pagans today in our world. Godless leaders. But remember, God says pray for them. Pray that his spirit will stir up their hearts. You see, God is in control. It doesn't matter who's president. It doesn't matter who's vice president. It doesn't matter because God is in control. I think if we would spend less time complaining about them and more time praying for them, things might change. You see, Cyrus seemed to understand this. In verse 2, it says, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, and all the kingdoms of the earth, the Lord God of heaven, he says, has given me. He realized it was God of heaven. The king is being used of God to set in motion the fulfillment of the scripture that God wants. You see, God fulfills his promise in the Word. It'll happen. It'll happen just like the Bible says. And listen, we need to take the promises of God and hold on to them. You claim one of them. I'm not a claimant one of these guys to name it and claim it, but I believe you read the Bible and God gives you a verse of Scripture, you can claim that word of God and trust Him to fulfill that word. We can stand upon the promises of God, every single one of them. There's a proclamation of the word of God if we're going to have revival. Not only that, it's the preparation of the word of God. The Bible says, whose spirit God had raised up to go and to build the house of the Lord of Jerusalem. That simply means that God stirred up his soul. And the God who stirred up his soul stirred the people's hearts to go back to Jerusalem. Revival is not something on the outside, folks. Revival is something on the inside that God does. And when he does it on the inside, let me tell you something, it moves to the outside. It just comes out of us. When you're revived, when you really get saved, somebody says, how do you know a person is saved? Well, I think it's a change on the inside. It's got to be a change on the inside. There's got to be a repentance towards a sin. You've got to turn from sin. A lot of people say, well, you know, I didn't have to turn anything. You just have, all you have to do is believe. Well, no, there's believe and repent. You see, you've got to turn from your sin. A lot of people believe in Jesus, but they've never turned their life around or turned their life over to Him. It's a personal relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Man, you know that you know Him, and you don't want to sin anymore. You want to get away from it. You want to flee it. And when you do sin, it brings you to your knees where you confess, God, I have failed you. You see? A turning. Notice in verse 6, all that were about them strengthened them. Folks, let me tell you something. You are an encouragement. Not everyone is called to go to South Dakota. But you can encourage the ones that are there. You can lift them up in prayer. Man, I tell you, one of the greatest things I like to do is when they come back from camp, and I know a lot of you say, well, that's a waste of time, sit and see what they did at camp. No, it's an encouragement. It's an encouragement to those kids. I know sometimes somebody says, it's kind of boring watching those films over and over. Well, don't worry about it. I've been bored by you a lot of times. But I just sit there patiently and listen to you. Amen. You can sit and listen and give your heart to those kids and encourage them. They're the leaders tomorrow. Let me tell you something. When you're up here doing something, you want a house full? They do too. So encourage them. Not everybody can go, but the Bible says they were strengthening them. In other words, they prayed for them. You know, not everyone went back to Jerusalem. You know, it's not always God's plan for you to go on a mission trip. But man, you can support it. You can pray for it. You can listen to them. We're not all called to be missionaries. But they all need to be encouraged. They all need to be supported. And our congregation needs to be strong. It needs to be growing in the Lord. And we need to help with the missionary endeavors. Man, I tell you what, it's great to know somebody loves you. It's great to know somebody cares enough about you to send somebody to tell you about Jesus Christ. All of these little kids, man, every one of them. Oh, somebody, you know, you may say, some of you may think, you know, that's kind of a waste of our worship time. Hearing Brother Bill repeat all those things, but it's not. Those little kids are so special. So special. In God's sight, they're special. And oh, how much it means for them. For an adult to take interest in them. It'll mean a lot. They'll never forget you. I've never forgot Miss Sally Richards. She took me in and loved me when most people said no. he's too rowdy. But she taught me those books of the Bible, and I've never forgot her. She's dead and gone now, but I'll never forget her, because she took time when nobody else took time. Folks, they will remember that. They'll remember Brother Bill. They'll remember Brother Dan. All the time, somebody comes by and says, "Preacher, you know, I got saved. I want to be baptized, but I don't want you to do it." I thought, well, that hurts my feelings. I want Brother Dan to do it. That's fine with me. Somebody said, "Why did Brother Dan baptize so many of them?" Well, they want him to. Praise God. Every once in a while they say, "Would you do it?" And I say, "Oh, thank you, thank you." No. I feel so left out. But you know what? That's the way it is. And who cares? As long as you bring those kids closer to Christ. You see, our congregation needs to be strong. It needs to be growing in the Lord. Then Cyrus also brought out the vessels of the house of the Lord. These vessels had been taken out of Jerusalem when the city fell, but now they're going back. Now, can you imagine that? Bunch of pagans take all the holy vessels of God and take them to a foreign country. They take care of them. That's kind of odd, don't you think? They take care of them because they're special vessels. And now Osiris says, "Hey, let's give them all their vessels back. Take them back to the house of God. Restore that." That has to be of God. That would be like one of those foreign countries. I don't know any of the leaders anymore. But one of them say, "Hey, let's restore God's temple in Jerusalem." They will one day. It has to be of God. You see, God is getting everything ready for his people to go back to rebuild. And he uses Cyrus to do it. Can we have revival in our church? Can we have a revival in America? I don't know. But I know we can in our life. And I believe we can have it in our church. I believe God wants to revive our congregation, and he wants to revive us as individuals, and he wants to revive us as a nation. God says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door," he didn't say, "If a majority of the people will open the door, I'll come in." No, he says, if any man, one person will open the door. You see, fire is contagious. I grew up in the country. I grew up down, and I still like to go down and build a fire. But you know what we had was backlogs back then. And that backlog was a big log. You could waste a whole box of matches trying to light that old big log. I mean, you could just strike matches all day and try to get that big log to burn, but it was not going to burn. Daddy would say, "Son, go out and get some kindling." The kindling was little stuff. And we'd pile it in there, and we'd get it up next to that back log, and then we'd light the kindling and, you know, pile the wood on, brother. When that kindling got hot, guess what? That old backlog would begin to glow and get there red, and them coals, it put out some good heat. But it was only when the kindling was started. You see, the Bible says we are the lights of the world. We're the kindling, so to speak. If you and I would get set on fire for God, then we might catch the whole church on fire for God. Those people that are away might start coming back. That's the way it is when a person gets into the Word of God and you start reading the Word of God. You begin to draw someone else to the Word of God. And then your class, Bible study class, becomes exciting. And then the first thing you know, fires broke out. And revival is gone. That's the way God plans it. Preparation. Proclamation. And then there's a procession. Now, chapter 2. Man, look at all of that. I've never seen such a big list of names and hard names. I'm not about to read all. There's 70-something verses there. 61 verses, 70 verses in this whole thing. Hard names. You know what I do? When I get to those hard names, I just say, Bubba, Bubba, Bubba. Kind of sound like I'm speaking in tongues, didn't it? Bubba, Bubba, Bubba. Those are hard names. And I wonder sometimes why God puts all those names in there. But you know what? It gives the names and the families of everyone that goes back. And I was reading over all these names, and I was looking at these names, and there's something interesting. When it gets through all of these names, it comes down to 64 or 65. It says, besides their male and female servants, of whom they were 7,337, they had 200 men and women singers. They had the choir behind them. 200 men and women singers. Now, why is that important? On the way back, I believe they were praising God. Look at that. Men and women singers praising God, singing songs, the hymns, so to speak, the psalms, so to speak. As they were going back, they were singing praises to God. Oh, folks, let me tell you something. It's important for you to be singing. It's important for you to be praising God in the house of God. Not only that, look at what it says. You drop on down, 68, some of you are not going to like this at all. Some of the heads of the fathers' houses, when they came to the house of the Lord, which is Jerusalem, offered freely for the house of God to erect in its place. According to their ability, they gave for the treasury to the work. Woo! Not only when you get revived, you'll see the proclamation of the Word of God and the praises of God, you're going to see people get right in their giving to God. They all gave according to their ability. Folks, that's revival. That's revival. The procession. Going back home, singing, giving as God had blessed them. There's no telling what this church could do if we got right with God. If we got right with God. Now somebody's going to say, I knew that preacher was going to start preaching on giving. I just said, I want you to get right with God. You get right with God, and I won't ever preach on giving. Because it'll come in freely. I guarantee you. Folks, it is a wonderful thing to know God moves in a mighty way. When it says they gave according to their ability, I think revival comes when we find everyone doing what God has led them to do with their lives. Why all of these names? Let me tell you why the names. They represent people. And folks, let me tell you something. People are important to God. You know what? God keeps records. And these people are mentioned there. They're put there. All of these names represent people. And let me tell you something. There's another record. The record is in Revelation 21, verse 27. There shall be by no means enter in anything that defiles or causes abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Did you get that? He keeps a record. He's written names in a book called the Lamb's book of life. When revival breaks loose, the proclamation of the Word of God, the preparation of his people getting right with God's word, and the procession, the singing, the praises, the giving, and people will get saved, and their names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. It was written there. Nothing can change that. No one blotted out. God is a controller. He's in, keeps a record of it. Let me ask you something. Is your name there today? That's an important question. For it says if your name's not written in that book, you won't be going to heaven. Is that right? It's right. It's absolutely right. God's word says it to be right. By no means enter anything that defiles or causes abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Have you ever asked Christ to come into your heart? Have you? Did he? If you want him to, he will. But there's got to be a change there. He wants you to change your life. Not just try to clean up for a little while. A change. A change. You're no longer the same. You belong to Christ. Everything you have belongs to Christ. You can't take anything with you. It all belongs to God. Have you given him your life? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? This morning, if you have never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to give an invitation, and it goes like this. Would you come by faith simply saying, I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm willing to change. I'm willing to turn from my sin. I realize I'm a sinner. I want him to come into my life. I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I guarantee you, if you really come seriously wanting him to come into your life, willing to change your life and start serving him, he will. He will. Whosoever shall call upon my name shall be saved. Would you come? Maybe you're here this morning and you're a member of the church, but you're not living for God like you ought to. You don't read your Bible. You're not excited about the Word of God. Why don't you get back to the Word of God? Come back. Start praising him. Get on your knees before him and say, Lord, I want you to restir my heart, rekindle the flames that was in my heart years ago when I trusted you. Some of you are looking for a church home. If this is the place that God has led you, would you come this morning? May we pray. Heavenly Father, every one of us here this morning have come with things on our heart, things on our mind. But Lord, I pray that right now, no one will think of anything but getting their life right with you, making you first priority in their life. That no matter what comes their way, they're going to serve you. Heavenly Father, we know that there's lost people inside the church. We know that there's people that need to get their lives right. We know that there's people looking for a church home. Lord, let them make that decision this morning. And we'll give you the praise. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.